Lessons from a trading room, a no BS guide on what it actually takes to be a successful trader. So you've made it. Firstly, thank you for taking the time to be here. Thank you for downloading this. And this isn't going to be like your normal audiobook. When I first thought about this and it was suggested to me that I create an audiobook, my initial reaction was, well, hang on a minute, trading is primarily a visual skill. I've been trading now for the last 18 years and I've been teaching traders from around the world successfully for the last 12 years. And we've been doing that in what I call my live online trading room. So the students sign in, they see my screen, I see their trades, we discuss the trades we're in, we coach, we deal with issues, we deal with problems. So when it was first suggested to me, I was like, how am I going to be able to get across everything that we cover in our trading room? How am I going to get the insights across to you listening to me? But the more I thought about it, the more I remembered what my first trading mentor said to me, was he said, remember, Ali, being a successful trader is being and dealing and having all of your skill set issues and challenges sorted, but also dealing with all of the mindset issues that come up. So when I'm working with a trader, I look at it and I ask a simple question. Is the primary issue a skill set issue or a mindset issue? And the answer I get back nearly every single time when I evaluate that trader and work with them, whether they're completely new, because you might be listening to this as a completely new trader, or somebody with trading experiences, primarily most traders will have an issue in both areas, because a lack of skill will affect the mindset and a lack of strong mindset will affect the skill set. So essentially what I want to do is, rather than just go through and give you every possible insight for the last 12 years, the reason I don't want to do that, and I would rather focus on four key areas, is because some of those insights are specific to the trader that I've worked with. But regardless of whether it's a trader that is under trading because they're overly analytical, or a trader that is over trading because they're too driven, regardless of whether or not we're working out how we can optimize a strategy because we've gone through a quiet period, or how to cope with a scenario where we've got 7 or 8 swing trades coming at us at once, or how do you cope with making 15% 1 month as a day trader and then having a 4% losing month the next month? All of these scenarios can be encompassed into four areas. So what I would rather do for the next hour or so is just have a conversation with you, a little bit like we were sat in the pub having a beer. And all I'm really doing is talking to you about all of those four areas and some of the key lessons that you can learn, take and actually apply from each of those four areas, and then finish off with a little bit of an action plan and for you to really think about what it is you want to achieve. Because very often I'll meet somebody in a bar, or I'll be out and I'll meet a friend of a friend, and they'll say, oh, I really like the idea of trading. And what I'll do is I'll ask them a series of questions to see, one, whether they're serious, two, where they're currently at, and three, what they want to achieve. Number one, why do you want to trade? And number two, what do you want to achieve? I'm going to plant those seeds now. Is why do you want to trade and what do you want to achieve? And most people, when I ask this question, will turn around and say they want more choice, they want more freedom, they want to make more money. And that is great. And that's why I got into it. But to become successful, you have to get more specific about what it is you want to achieve, because you have to find the framework and the strategies that deliver on that. It's no good simply saying, I want to make 100% return a year. Yet if the strategy you trade and you're delivering on that strategy to a 90% optimization level, but it only gives you 20% return a year, you're going to feel like a failure straight away, when actually you're not only successful relevant to your average investor, but you're also successful relevant to that strategy. So really think about that for a second. What is it, or why is it you're trading? And what is it specifically that you want to achieve? So why listen to me? Why spend the time listening to me? Well, very simply, I've been doing this for 20 years. I've been teaching people for the last 12. I've probably racked up the best part of 11, 12,000 hours of live coaching time, and probably double that in terms of trading experience. I have multiple six-figure trading accounts. I have my own trading fund that other people invest into, which has six figures of my own money in. Every single strategy that we run at Traders Support Club is tested and proven. It's live traded and proven in the live market conditions for a minimum of a year before we ever let it out onto our students. Some of our strategies have 30 years worth of testing results and up to nearly 10 years of actual live trade performance. So we're sending out signals every single week, not where to buy or sell, but possible trades that our traders can trade. We are coaching traders live. I've coached traders to be full-time. I've coached traders to be successful part-time. I've coached world-class trainers that now teach students, but any of the trainers that work with me have to be live trading. This isn't a theoretical approach. I've invested six figures into my own both trading education and my own coaching education. I am still coached by Europe's Master Coach of the Year, and I still work heavily on getting people's performance and getting their heads right, because trading ultimately, and this is the first thing that I want you to take away, trading is ultimately a performance-based skill. So myself, my team, and my students have to have access and have to apply the best possible proven strategies that work relative to what they want to achieve, but also proven strategies, tools, and techniques to improve their own performance. And whether that's working with some of the top trading psychologists that are out there, or working with performance coaches to do whatever we can to give traders the edge. So these lessons and these insights that I'm going to draw out and basically put into four areas all come as a result of live application. They are not simple theory. When you listen to me telling you these, you know it comes from the School of Hard Knocks and it comes from live application, and it's relevant regardless of the type of trader, because you could be listening to this as somebody who is more risk averse. You could be listening to this as somebody who's the opposite of that and is happy to take lots of risk. So there will be a point in your process where you will need a more targeted approach. But if you don't have these four pillars in place, there is no point focusing on that extra 20%. And one of the things I see too many traders do is they worry about what I call contributing factors to success before they've got the determining factors in place. So I want you to think of these four pillars that I'm going to work through as the four determining factors that will make you a successful trader. So we're just sitting down for a beer, and you're sitting there going, oh, so you said about these four pillars, Ali. And I'm going to go, yeah, wait one second here. I'm going to get to those in a second. But what I want to talk to you about first is I want to talk to you about the fact that you, as a human being, are fucked when it comes to trading. Now, usually when I say this to people, their eyes widen up and they're like, where's he going with this? Well, there's two reasons you're fucked. Number one is the trader training industry. So much of the trading industry is built off of this idea of zero to hero, of financial freedom in 5 weeks. And the trouble is, what that does is that is constantly being pushed at you. So if you're out there watching stuff on YouTube, what you'll often see is people telling you you can make money in 5 minutes. And then suddenly you'll find something that counteracts that. And there's somebody out there dissing these guys, and they almost spend their whole time calling out the quote unquote scammers. And what I've noticed is that any trader that's doing really, really well is not telling you can make millions in 5 minutes or financial freedom in 5 weeks, but in the same breath, they're not spending all their time slagging off those people. The traders that are successful are quietly getting on with it, following a system and following a plan. Now, they may end up in my trading room because they've tried a particular strategy or training course that promised the earth and didn't deliver. But the fact is I'm not going to sit here and waste time slagging other people off or worrying about that. Yes, the industry talks a lot of shit, but there are a lot of people that have come through as a result of that, that if they hadn't gone into that process, they'd have never become successful. So you're here for whatever reason, but understand that regardless of what the industry is talking about, there isn't one way to trade. There isn't one approach. But the reason a lot of traders are fucked is they think all they need is to follow the guy at the front of the room, get a cookie cutter or get one strategy, and they're going to be successful. But what they have to understand is that linear process doesn't necessarily work all of the time. In the other scenario, is statistically the odds are stacked against you. If you go and look at a UK broker, the FCA by law tell you that you've got to have, or that broker has to have, their performance listed along the bottom. So the performance of all their clients. And if you go and look at pretty much all of those, the figure's going to be anywhere from about 75 to 80% of their clients that lose money. It's literally written on their website. It's in black and white. So at best, 25% of their clients, maybe 30, are making money. On average, about 20% of all the clients at any broker is making money. So the industry's peddling that you can make money in 5 minutes. Other people spend all their time dissing those people, but don't actually really help you. And then statistically, it's stacked against you. But what you should be doing at that point is, rather than thinking, well, what's the point in doing this? If you are, then trading probably isn't for you. So if you're listening, is thinking, well, if everyone's talking shit, or everyone's promising stuff that can't be delivered, or and only 20% of people are making money, what's the point? Then it's probably not for you. But if your initial reaction is, that means there's 20% of people that are doing the right thing, the opportunity is there for me, then you're in the right place to learn from this. Because every single trader has to take ownership of their process. Yes, you're following my four pillars, and you're going to learn about those in a second, but you have to at some point take ownership for what you do. So very simply, those 20% in a broad stroke are doing pretty much the opposite of the 80%. So what you've got to do is say, what is it that that 20% is doing, and how can I do that for myself? And that is what's going to get you to success. And it's not easy. I would be lying if in 5 minutes you're going to have this all sorted. I still go through ups and downs now. When I launched the fund, I had to trade in a much more risk-averse way than I'd been used to, because I was minimizing the drawdowns. In my own trading account, I'm happy to have a bigger drawdown at periods of the year than I wanted to have in the fund. So even that was a challenge for me, and that's a recent thing that I've had to work with. So all traders go through challenges, even traders that have been trading for 10 years. But what I'm going to do by going through all of these four pillars is, if you've traded before, show you how you can change your approach, but also change your mindset so that you cope with the ups and downs in a much better way. So what are these four pillars that we're focusing on? Number one is risk management. So we're going to talk about risk management, and how do you, as a trader, manage your risk in a way that means that you are not going to always have winning trades, but when you do have losing trades, you don't end up either blowing up your account or losing too much, so it's too hard to get back from. Secondly, how do you actually analyze the market in a way that allows you to be consistent? So the second one is analysis and strategy, and essentially how you marry those two. The third one is data analysis and application, probably one of the most looked over areas by the majority of traders that are out there. And then lastly is creating a bulletproof mindset. So risk management, what is it? So I say to traders, if some of you have received my emails, I'll very often put at the end of my email, trade safe and manage your risk. So managing your risk is about essentially trading in a safe way. Now, it isn't the defining factor. You can still manage your risk effectively, but trade too much. You can still manage your risk effectively and trade too little. We'll come to that in the next pillar. But ultimately, managing risk is about ensuring that if the trade goes against you, you have followed a specific process that means you are not in a position where you are losing too much so you can't recover, or you're not losing too much so it takes you too long to recover. So what I want you to do is, I want you to imagine that you have funded your trading account, and your trading account equates to a bag of gold coins, and in that bag is 100 gold coins. Now, I'm sat next to you and I've got a bag of 100 gold coins. But essentially, my bag is 3 times the size of yours. Okay, so imagine that. You plonk the bag on the table. So my bag is 3 times the size of your bag, but your bag has 100 gold coins in there, just each coin is smaller. My bag has 100 gold coins in. And this is the fundamental process of risk management that I see so many traders overlook. So let's say we're looking at a potential setup on pound against the US dollar. And we believe that market is going to go up. And we've followed our plan, we followed our process, and both of us want to buy into that market. And hopefully, if that price goes up, we'll make money. So we're both looking at the same trade. What we're both going to do is we're both going to pull out one gold coin out of 100. So you pull your gold coin out and I pull my gold coin out. We've both taken 1% of our total number of gold coins. You've got one out of your 100. I've got one out of my 100. The only difference in that scenario is that my one gold coin is three times as big as your gold coin. So I want you to now take that thought process and imagine we're now in the trading room. That's exactly the same as when I'm looking to place a trade and I've got Joe or Jill next to me and they're looking to place a similar trade. We've all been through the same analysis process. We're all risking 1% of our account on that particular trade. So if that trade goes the way we want, we're going to get that £1 back and ideally two or three times more. So it's the same 1%. So when I'm trading with a £250,000 account and you've got our new trader, Joe, and she's trading with a £2,500 account, both of us are going to risk the same amount on that trade relative in percentage terms. I've got my 1%, but it's bigger than Joe's 1%. So we put our trade on and we stake our trade and that trade comes back and it moves up three times our designated entry to risk profile. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about when I'm saying that, head to tradersupportclub.com, sign up as a free member, because on our free membership, we have a load of videos showing you exactly how to place that trade. And then if the trade comes in threefold and makes us three times what we risked, we've all made the same 3% return on that one trade. That has just been more for me because my account is potentially bigger. So rule number one when it comes to risk management is have a predetermined risk percentage for that trade and all the trades that you place. And this is based on the data and the strategy and the results that you already have. Now, have that predetermined risk. Rule number two is make sure that that stays the same regardless of whether previous trades were winners or losers. One of the things that I see too many traders do is they start out good and they're both risking, and I place a trade, they place a trade, we are both risking 1% each, but that trade loses. And then the next trade comes along, we both risk 1% again, and that trade loses. But what I notice is at that point, that less experienced trader then on the third trade wants to risk 2%. So rather than take out one gold coin or 1% of their account value, they now want to risk 2%, two gold coins. Why? Because what they want to do is they want to get back the losses that they have had and get into profit. And the risk is if they only risk 1% on the next trade, it's not going to get them back because they're thinking short term, as I've already said. So too many traders are thinking short term and looking at the result of the last few trades rather than looking at the big picture. So I'm able to catch that trader in that moment and make sure they're managing their risk correctly. Rule number two is stick to the same percentage risk regardless of the results that have already come along. If you just did those two things, had a predetermined risk per trade that was based on your data and your results, and then you stuck to that predetermined risk on every trade, regardless of the result of the previous trades, you will put yourself ahead of 70% of the traders that are out there. And the reason I know that is because I've been friends with people who have run brokers. I've been friends with people high up with some of the brokers in the UK, and they can see the risk allocation and they can see the patterns that a lot of retail traders have. And what they'll say is that they're very good at managing risk when the trades are going their way, but if they have a couple, three or four losers on the trot, that's when they'll start to risk too much. And then that additional loss comes along and they've now doubled or tripled the risk, the losses that they had in the last couple of trades. Now, as a little bit of an extra one here, for the more experienced traders listening, you will probably understand the process of stops, all right? And as I said, those of you that are completely new, go and sign up to Trader Support Club and learn about stops in our free video series. But what's important is I see too many traders moving stops either too soon or too often. So rule number three for the more experienced traders is stop moving your stops. It's very easy to think that by moving your stop to where you got in, you've now got a no-risk trade. But understand that if you have three trades that get you out at break-even, It's easy to fool yourself and think, well, I had a no-lose trade, a no-lose trade, and a third no-lose trade. But actually, all three of those trades, you move your stop too quickly, and all three of those no-lose trades could have actually been 3% winners. If you then have two quick losers after that, you are in a position where you could have been 7% up, and you're now 2% down. So they're the three things that I want you to think about under that first pillar. Okay, they're the three things that I want you to think about with risk. Make sure that you've got a predetermined percentage risk allocation. So on some of our strategies, we will risk 1% of our account per trade. Some of our strategies, we will risk 2. We even have a position-based strategy where we risk 2.5. But we only trade once a month on that strategy. So make sure you've got an allotted predetermined risk. Number two, you stick to that regardless of the results of the previous trades. And lastly, if you move stops for the sake of it, stop moving stops. Only move stops if you've got a proven way to do it. Number two, we are going to talk about technical analysis and proven strategies. And this is, how do you marry your analysis process with a set of proven strategies? Before we get into a couple of key action points, one of the things that I see too many traders do incorrectly, or too many traders think incorrectly, is they think that all they need is the strategy I trade. And by strategy, I mean essentially the nuts and bolts of what I do to enter the trade. Okay, so the nuts and bolts of what I do to enter a trade. So it might be that if price makes a new high, pulls back to a moving average, and then we get a directional candle close. And all they think is, well, if that's proven, then all I need to do is get the rules for that strategy, essentially the tick box criteria. All I need to do is get that. It's made Ali successful, so I will follow that, and then I will be all right. And this is where you see people buying strategies off the internet, buying strategies cheaply, or even worse, giving their money to somebody else to trade a strategy. So one of the things that I want you to focus on is you've got to define what type of strategy. Number one, what type of strategy are you trading? Essentially, there's two. Are you trading with the trend? And are you trading against the trend? Because that will determine where on a chart you will look for the setups that you need to trade. Because I see a lot of people trade against the trend who go, against the trend is risky, I'm not doing that. But they try and trade against the trend when the market is moving and trending in an area where there's what's called clean air, and there's plenty of room between where the price is now and where the next level is. Or the other way, I see people trying to trade with the trend when they're sitting on a two-year high because the market has been trending up, and wonder why they keep having losing trades. So these two elements that you've got to marry up, your overall market analysis and your strategy, I want you to think about it like this. And this is what I say to people when I'm talking to them about this. I'll say, right, what I want you to do is imagine you're turning up at a train station, and your job is you want to get a train to a certain destination. Now, to do that effectively, you've got to get on a train. So think of getting on the train as placing the trade, all right? That's the last bit, okay? But before you can do that, you've got to, one, know where the station is, so you've got to find the station. Then you've got to walk into the station and walk up to the departures board or announcement board to see where the train is leaving, which platform that train is leaving from. And that is your analysis. That is me going on to a specific chart and defining where are the key levels, where is the price now, and how much room is there between where we are now and where the key levels are. So none of that is about placing the trade. That is determining the market position. You walking onto the concourse and looking up at the board and finding out which platform you need to be on is you determining the position of where your train is coming into, all right? That's not the strategy. So all your analysis in terms of looking at a chart, analyzing the levels, whether it's using moving averages, trend lines, support and resistance, we're not going to get into all the rubbish and all the bullshit about, well, supply and demand is better than support and resistance. I've been using support and resistance for the last 18 years and it's worked fine for me. Number one, because I don't rely on it 100%, and I use it to determine market position. Get me to the platform. So once you're at the platform, the strategy criteria to get you into the trade is a little bit like you standing at the platform. The train pulls in, you press the door, the button on the door, you get into the train, you sit in your seat. Now you're able to travel in the direction you want. So The strategy itself, too many traders, and this is the rule for technical analysis and analysis and strategy, too many traders put too much emphasis on the strategy criteria and not enough emphasis on where that strategy criteria is occurring. You as the trader want to make sure that if you're going to trade with the trend, that the market is trending in the direction you want, and there is enough clean air between where you are now and where the next wall or resistance, ceiling or floor is in that market. So ultimately, this is something, and I remember working with a gentleman called David, it was probably about a year ago from now, and he's just about to go full time as a trader. And one of the things that he said is this was the defining factor. He learned and had plenty of strategies that he'd bought from the internet or learned from other people, but he never spent the time to determine where on the chart those strategies should be traded. So the first thing you're doing is saying, where do I need to trade, by doing your chart analysis, and then the strategy criteria are the when. So work on the where separately from the when, and then marry the two. And if you think, well, I don't have any strategies, or I don't know how to do that, again, get to Trader Support Club, sign up for our free training, and then as you get more experienced at doing that, then you can move on to very specific strategies relevant to the right market conditions. So number one, define the where, define the when. Number two, make sure you're clear on whether you are trading with the trend or against the trend. And then make sure the strategy criteria are appropriate. And then another thing with analysis, and this is where I see so many traders go wrong, is that they will not give a strategy enough time. So when you're marrying strategy and analysis, a lot of traders will see a strategy lose three times and say the strategy quote unquote doesn't work. So one of the things is have a think about how quickly you have dismissed a strategy before you've actually done any clear analysis. I have people come up to me at expos and say, what's your strategy, Ali? And I'm like, well, it doesn't really matter what my strategy is. I'm like, what's your strategy? And they're like, oh, yeah, but mine's not really worked for the last couple of weeks. And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? Does that mean 2 weeks, 3 weeks? It's probably about the last 10 days. Okay, and how many trades would that be? And then they shrug their shoulders because they don't even know. And I'll say, well, how many specifically? Log onto your broker account. And they said, well, I had one winner, and then over the last 5 days, I've had four losers. And then I'll turn around and say, okay, in correlation to the last 3 years of data that you've been collecting, how is that performance relate to that? And they look at me blank. Because what a lot of people will do is they will dismiss the validity of an analysis system or a specific strategy. One, they won't have even married the two together, but they'll dismiss the validity of that strategy because they've had a couple of losers. Or they'd had a winning run and now it's losing and now they're questioning it. So you must look at your strategies over a longer period of time. And also, the key is to stop thinking that because you're in a trade and that strategy has a positive result over 10 years or 5 years or even 6 months, that every trade is going to reflect that. So a lot of people say to me, support and resistance doesn't work, or Fibonacci is better than moving averages. And I'm like, better in what way? Because a lot of traders are looking for their technical analysis to work 90% of the time, where all I'm looking for my technical analysis to do is establish the where, and then my strategy to be the icing on the cake for that. So I'm happy on some strategies to be wrong about the direction of a trade 50% of the time. And that is a combination of my technical analysis not working on that particular scenario, or the strategy not allowing enough room for the trade to run. But when I am right, if I'm right three times the distance that I risked, so if I'm right on 50% of my trades, but on those trades that I'm right on, I win three times what I risk, I don't need to be right more than 50% of the time. So many traders are saying things like, this strategy doesn't work, this technical analysis doesn't work, this isn't any good, but they haven't actually framed it around what they're doing. They're just making that assumption because something hasn't worked for them over a short period of time. So the next thing to be aware of within technical analysis, beware of what we call recency bias. Beware of saying something doesn't work or getting too cocky and think something's going to work all the time simply because of the short-term result that you have had over the last week or the last month. Understand that there is an ebb and flow to what you're doing, and your goal is not to have a system that works 95% of the time. So you might say, great, Ali, all of that makes sense, but how do I go about having or knowing whether or not I'm thinking too short term about the performance of this strategy? And that leads on to our third pillar, which is data. So pillar number three is data analysis and application. This is an area where I see so many traders either fall behind, have good intentions of collecting the data on their trades, they either fall behind on it, or they simply calculate it based on what their broker is showing them. So they either have good intentions and fall behind, they're completely unaware that they should be doing it, or they think they can rely on the data that their broker is spitting out. So most people manage data, like I've just been saying in relation to technical analysis. They manage it over the short term, and they look at ultimately one thing, which is whether or not the trade was a winner or a loser. So I have done countless webinars, countless trainings saying, if you were asking a fund manager about a particular strategy, a particular performance, what would you ask them? And they say, number one, I'd ask them what the percentage return is. But number two, I say, okay, give me another one. And they'll say, well, I'd ask them how many winners does it have? Now, if you asked me that last year, I'd say my performance was 68.5% return as a swing trader, which is way better than pretty much any fund out there. Now, most traders, when I ask them that, I then say, okay, so how many winners do you think I would have had during that period? What percentage of winners? And most people say between 70 and 80, because they assume that if I'm making that kind of return, then I've got to be winning 70 to 80% of the time. When in fact, my win-loss ratio out of the number of trades that I placed during that year, I only won 49% of the time. 51% of my trades were losers, 49 were winners. Why? Because the size of the win, think about it from that perspective, it's not whether the trade won or lost, it's the size of the win. So most traders are literally looking at percentage return and whether the trade was a winner or a loser, and that's about as far as their data goes. But what you should be focusing on is some key other additional ones. Number one, the risk to reward. What did you gain on that trade versus what you risked? So in terms of percentages, if we refer back to our gold coins, if I took one gold coin out of my bag and Jill took one gold coin out of her bag and we placed the same trade, did we get our gold coin plus one gold coin back? Because that's a one for one risk to reward ratio. So we risked one gold coin and got one back. Or did we risk one and get two back? Did we risk one and get three back? That's a 3-to-1 risk to reward ratio. So for me, I know that the optimum or one of the three strategies that I trade is a risk to reward of 3-to-1 or reward to risk. Doesn't really matter how you say it. So I know that the optimum for me is to risk one gold coin on every trade and get three back. But here's the key. The price I pay for that is I only win about 50% of the time. So half of my trades don't win, but when my trades do win, they win three times what I've risked. So I know just by backtesting the data and just by collating my live data that I am going to have periods where I have winning runs and losing runs. But because I'm losing 50% of the time, I'm probably going to have more losing runs than somebody who is winning 75% of the time. But they might be winning 70% of the time, but only getting one gold coin back for every coin they risk. So different strategies have different win-loss and risk-to-reward factors. And another factor that a lot of traders overlook is trade frequency. So if we think back to what we were talking about before with technical analysis and strategy, a lot of traders will say, oh, I've had three losers on the trot. And I'll ask them, how often has that happened over the last year? And they'll look at me blank. And I go, okay, what about your backtesting data? How often has that happened over the last 5 years? And they can't tell me. But when you actually drill down and look at the data, the first thing I'll do is if I have a winning or a losing run is see how common that is relative to previous data. Now, the big challenge with data is this. Going forward, you don't know whether or not the data that you have tested or collated from your live trades is going to be replicated. And to some extent, it's always going to be different. But too many traders use that as an excuse to not collect any data. So they will say things like, well, backtesting, if I backtest, the future market conditions are going to be different. So that data won't hold out. But my argument to that is if you are looking for the data to be exactly the same, yes, you'll be disappointed. But every single trader that I've worked with that has gone from not collating data or not testing data testing strategies. If they then go to doing it, they've never got any worse. I've never given students the task of testing and collecting data and reporting it in and analyzing and optimizing it. I've never given them that task. And as a result of doing that 6 months down the line, they're in a worse position. So you don't stake everything on the 5 years worth of backtesting results. You don't stake everything on the results of your live trades for the last year. You look for patterns and you look for scenarios to help you with what you're going through right now. So if you know as a trader that a three trade losing run is a standard scenario for that particular strategy, because you've got 5 years worth of backtesting data and 2 years worth of live testing data, you're way less likely to change the strategy. You're way less likely to think short term about it. Or if you think back to pillar one, you are way less likely to double up on risk or change your risk because you are now using the data to think longer term rather than short term. So lesson number one, and the biggest benefit for recording data, is it allows you to look at trends, look at scenarios, and think longer term, knowing that as a trader, you're naturally geared to think short term. So let's put a little bit of clarity around data. So the basic rule is record everything, whether it's previous data, testing a strategy that you want to trade, or your current strategy that you're trading. Record everything. So the first rule is, number one, is record. Then number two is collate. So how are you recording it? So whether the trade was long or short, the date of the entry, the strategy, whether the trade was a winner or a loser, what was the risk to reward on that trade? What was the maximum drawdown? What was the maximum exit, both for winners and losers? Looking at something as simple as saying, well, okay, on all of my winners, if I had 100 trades in 1 year and 50 of them were winners and 50 of them were losers, what percentage of that 50 trades went into a losing position before they hit the target? Now, I know that percentage figure for my own trades. So if I see a trade going against me, I don't panic, because I know that on that particular strategy, nearly 80% of my winning trades will go into a losing position first. Yet imagine those of you that have traded before, how many times your trade has gone against you and you start doubting the trade, you start thinking the trade is going to lose, you maybe even change your rules or move your stop because you're fearful because the trade is going against you. Whereas I expect that rather than hope it won't happen. So make sure you collate the data in a way. Then analyze and apply and optimize any changes. So at the end of every week, at the end of every month, make sure you're up to date with all of your trade records and analyze it. See whether or not your current win-loss ratio for the month or the quarter is the same as the previous year, is better or worse. Do some sort of cross-referencing so you know where you are. Not so you suddenly shift or change anything, but you have a greater awareness of what is happening. Look at when you make your money. For the last 3 years, I've made 9 months, or probably 70% of my profit in a 3 month period, because that's what the conditions have been like for the last 3 years. So rather than sitting around going, I haven't made any money, I'm cross-referencing the previous year to the year before and the year before and noticing patterns that are evolving from my data. And this is something that we do in our room on a daily and weekly basis, and it gives traders so much confidence. I'm going to talk about confidence in a minute. And part of data is also journaling. So what we've built into one of our advanced spreadsheets is the ability for a trader to journal how they feel pre, during, and post. And if you're a relatively new trader, this is a hugely important skill. So it's not just about data, is not just about number crunching. It's also about looking at feelings and certain things that you think and feel pre-trade, during the trade, and post-trade. And very often you can find a correlation between certain emotions that you feel pre, during, or post relative to what the trade is doing in that moment, or as a result of the trades that you've had before. A classic one is if you've had 3 or 4 losers in a row, very often your pre-trade emotion is more fearful because there's more cortisol going around in there. You're more risk averse because you have had a period of losers. But the opposite can happen is if you're on a run of 5 winners, your pre-trade emotion can be a little bit cocky, maybe a bit too chipper, maybe a bit too full of it, because you've got testosterone running around in your body. You're more confident, you're more, you know, more tolerant to risk in that scenario. So not just simply clocking the numbers that I've been talking about, but also clocking your pre, during, and post-trade emotions and correlating that against your results and your data will have a massive impact on your success. So as we're talking about emotions and we're talking about that side of trading, let's now move on to pillar number four, which is your trading mindset. If you look at the wider trading community and you ask the question, what is the number one rule in trading? Very often you'll hear the phrase protect your capital. And I don't disagree with that, which is why, well, at the start of this audiobook, we talked about risk management and we talked very, very specifically about the need to focus on that. And basically what you're doing with your risk management is protecting your capital for when the inevitable losing runs happen. But one of the other most important rules in trading is not just protecting your capital. And I would argue that that is essentially a given. And once you know how to do that, you're good. And if you don't know how to do that, you shouldn't be trading anyway. But one of your other number one rules is to protect your confidence. So everything you're doing, both in data analysis and in the other pillar of technical analysis and marrying that with strategy, it's all about protecting your confidence. So how, as a trader, do you become more confident and more comfortable with what it is you do? Well, we've already discussed clocking your data. Having a pool of data will increase your confidence massively. And if you ask any of my traders in my trading room or any of the successful traders that I have worked with over the years, they will say that by having that data, they felt more confident. So the number one rule is protect your confidence. The number one way to do that is make sure you've got adequate data. But the next one is to have a very, very clear process by which you analyze the markets and you operate around your trading. So one of the most overlooked areas is environment. I see this too often. I see people trying to analyze their charts while their kids are clambering over the sofa, or they're trying to look at multiple time frames off of one laptop screen, and they haven't, what I say, set themselves up to do business. Now, that doesn't mean, those of you listening, you need to go and buy 10 screens and have a massive rig. But what you do need to do is think about your environment and what you step into. So, for instance, when I'm going through and I'm going through my 40 markets and I'm looking for possible trades in six different strategies, I'm only trading three of them, but that's six different strategies for all of our guys in our trading room. I will do that in a very, very methodical way, but I will go into that with a very focused and very specific mindset. I won't simply amble up to my screen and just look through it, or I won't do it with the dogs running around the house or the door open or the TV on. I will do it in a very, very specific way, and I'll prepare myself for that because I take it ruthlessly seriously. And one of the challenges I see is I see traders not giving it that level of professionalism and focus because they're only trading with a small account. It's almost like saying, you know, once I've got more money, I'll start saving. It's a little bit like that. They'll say, well, once my account grows, then I'll kind of take it more seriously. And one of the things I learned from my first mentor was that if you're not serious about a £1,000 account, you're never going to get the chance to be serious with a £100,000 account. And that was a big mindset shift for me. Which leads me on to my next point, which is you have to understand your fear and greed mechanisms. Now, there's a lot of talk out there about traders being either fear orientated or greed orientated. And I do believe that to an extent, but I don't believe that that is enough, because traders will react differently depending on whether they've had a period of lots of trades. Some traders simply like to have lots of trades, and if they've been quiet, then their fear and greed can shift. But other traders will respond differently depending on what's happened. So a key thing to understand is not just whether you are more fear orientated or greed orientated, which essentially is, if you are fear orientated, you're more prone to under trading, or if you're greed orientated, you're more prone to over trading, is understanding how your personality style affects that. And this is something that we cover as part of being a Traders Support Club member. And in our Kickstart training, our Cornerstone training, we go into this, and all of the students on that training go through a 21-point questionnaire to establish, even if they've never traded before, where their personality style sits. Is it more fast-paced, slow-paced? Are they more internal, more external? And as a result of being internal or external, does that affect them from an over-trading or under-trading perspective? Do they focus primarily on winning, or do they focus on being right? Do they focus on variety, or do they focus on monotony? There's all of these factors that influence how you approach your trading. So with mindset, number one, protect your confidence. Do that by making sure you collect the data. Number two, do that through having a process. Number three, make sure you're aware of your environment, both your external environment, how you have things set up, and your internal environment, how you approach what it is you're doing. Are you coming in with a gambler's mindset or professional mindset? And then understand how your fear and greed is affected by your personality style. And if you want more information on that, drop us a DM, drop us a support email at support@tradersupportclub.com, and we can have a chat with you and help you with that. And this links back to what I was talking about a little bit earlier, is that awareness of recency bias, that awareness of reacting to what has happened over the short term versus the long term. But also be wary of becoming an expert after the event. I see this too much, where a trader places a trade, they come along and the trade loses because they're focusing too much on the result of the trade, whether it was a winner or a loser. And then what they'll do is they'll say, I should have done this, I should have done that. But their analysis and the reason that they're shoulding everywhere and saying, I should have done this, should have done that, is ultimately because the trade lost. One of the key tasks that I get every single one of my traders to do is simply to evaluate the quality of their trade based on their analysis process, their data collection, and their risk management. And they simply give that trade a red cross if they've done something wrong, or they give it a green tick if they followed their process. And at the end of the week, end of the month, they evaluate their results based on the number of green ticks and the number of red crosses they have, rather than whether or not they've made money. Because what I want you to do as a trader is to focus on getting good at a process, having the awareness of where that process can be improved, and optimizing your strategy through data. Over time, the results will follow. But if you spend your whole time thinking that a trade was good or bad simply because of the result that it gave you, you'll end up going around in circles for years. So there are our four pillars. And these are the four pillars that we focus on, regardless of whether it's on our Kickstart, our Cornerstone training, or whether I'm coaching somebody in our trading room at a very high level. These four pillars never shift. Yes, we get into more detail. Yes, we go into contributing factors further down the line. But if these four pillars aren't in place and you're not working on getting better at these, then essentially there's no point working on the contributing factors. So now you're aware of the four determining factors that hold up your trading. This is the key thing I want you to understand. Now, what I want you to imagine is I want you to think of each of these pillars as a leg. So imagine each of these pillars is a leg on a table. Now, if you have only got three of these legs in place, your trading can work for a while. But when you apply pressure onto that, if there are only three legs in place, that table is unstable and will eventually fall over. Well, think of that pressure as when you're having a losing trading run, or you've had 2 weeks where you haven't had any good setups, or somebody around you has made 50% in 6 months and you've only made 10, or somebody's telling you this can't be done, or you are feeling a little bit unconfident, or your energy is low, or for whatever reason, if you've only got three legs in place because you've chose to ignore data, or you've chose to ignore mindset, or you're not managing your risk correctly, you will only be able to go so long before the table will fall over. So it's so important as a trader that you have a process and a methodology that means you work on all four. So how can you do that? What steps you can take? Well, as I've said, if you are not a Traders Support Club member, please make sure you get along to our website. You go in, you fill your details in, you will get access to free training material that goes into a bit more detail about all of these four areas. And you'll actually see me use chart examples for that. But if you're listening to this as somebody who has already got some experience, you're not sure what your next step is to do, if you are in that position, I would recommend that you think very, very carefully about finding a way to do this from somebody who can give you feedback. Because it's very difficult to become an expert in all of these four areas just by trial and error. And if you're honest with yourself, most of you want to get in a position where you're accumulating wealth rather than experimenting with this. So get in touch with us by whatever means. It can be an email, it can be via Facebook. Get yourself onto our next Kickstart training, or if you're really serious about working with us closely, drop us an email and we can tell you all about our Beat the Banks program and our Total Trader program. And I hope that you have enjoyed this. This has been insightful. Please go and take action on this and get in touch with us. And I hope that our paths will cross very soon.